It's time to hit In the Shop with Steve, Kirk, Brian, and Dan.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
In the Shop, your source for the latest information and advice on maintaining and repairing your vehicle on KGMI Newstalk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com. KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the shop. You're here with the Auto Guys. I'm Kirk from Angler Automotive and Steve from the Panacea Auto Repair. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Yeah, man. Good day to get out and catch some crab.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
My son said he was out and they caught a bunch in a really short amount of time. Big ones.
Yeah? Big one? Where did he go?
I don't know. Probably out in Birch Bay somewhere or something. Maybe off of Larrabee where he launched.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, you should find out.
It was legal, honest.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. I had my bookkeeper, Becky, she owns Ellie's bookkeeping service, called me last Monday afternoon around 4 o'clock and says, "Hey, what are you and the boys doing after work tonight?" And I said, "I don't know. Would you like to go for a boat ride?" And so went out and picked up their crab pots, and we ended up coming home with 14 big old crab.
Nice.
Yeah. I wasn't quite ready to start processing crab for the year, but we managed to get into the swing of things.
Yeah.
So, we've got quite a bit of stuff that we could talk about today, but it would be even better if you give us a call at 676-KGMI, that's 360-676-5464, and love to talk about your car, see how you made it through the hot weather. I haven't been around for a while, but hot weather, how's your AC holding up?
Boy, I've been doing a lot of AC work.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then my machine had a problem.
Your new machine.
My new machine had an issue, and I was panicking, right? Because I've got customers that have been scheduled for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
To come in and get their AC done, and my machine's like on the fritz.
Your new machine.
My new machine.
What was that thing, $15,000?
It wasn't close to, yeah. But that's crazy. We got it figured out pretty quick. But it was my identifier was saying there was stuff in there that was not in there. So
hey, so have you talked about, the identifier? Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I don't do air conditioning is I'm afraid of what's in those systems, and yeah. I don't want to ruin my machine. I mean, some of the stuff that people are adding in with your do-it-yourself cans or whatever, can that really screw the machine
up?
Yeah.
If you pull that, because the machines do recycling, right? So you're pulling whatever charge is in the system at that time into your machine, and then it filters it and recycles it. Well, if it's got hydrocarbons or R22 instead of R134 or something like that in there, then it destroys that whole batch. Now you got to try to figure out how you're going to dispose of that stuff.
Oh, right, because it's contaminated.
Yeah, so it's a big process. And so like what I do is like my machine has its own identifier in it, but if it gets a bad sample, there's all these shenanigans you have to run through in order to get rid of the bad sample. So if I'm suspicious, like it's an older car, somebody said, "Oh yeah, I tried to charge it myself or whatever," I have a separate identifier. I hook it up first.
Oh, good idea.
And so if I get a clean pass with that, then I'll hook the expensive machine up.
Kind of like sending the apprentice or the intern in to, first.
Yes,
just a low person on the totem pole there.
Right.
Hang on to this thing. It might be hot.
Yeah, but he got me fixed up within a day, and I didn't have to send anybody away that was scheduled, so that was good.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. So, how often do you find stuff? You know, stuff that shouldn't be in the AC.
I've only one time.
Really? So it's not like
it's not prevalent. But I do warn people. You know, if you go in the one that I did get, it was a car was from Canada, and they had bought. Her husband had bought his own stuff to put in there, and it was mostly hydrocarbons.
Yeah.
And so
was that
I'm like,
propane they pump in those things?
Yeah, I think so. And I was like, yeah, I can't help you. I can't deal with it. So I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, understandable.
Yeah.
So anyway, 676-KGMI is the number to call if you want to get your car fixed on the radio.
You know, you had something here that I found interesting is the Mazda steering wheel emblem.
The emblem, yes.
You know, Mazda's got that cool little, I don't know, it's supposed to look like an M, I think, shiny thing right in the middle of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
And apparently if the airbag goes off, that thing creates some shrapnel.
Shrapnel.
Yeah. So they actually have a recall out on that, and you'll get a new airbag module cover. And I don't know if they make it out of something different or the logo is completely gone or what, but there has been 10 reports of injuries outside of the U.S. and a couple lawsuits in the U.S. filed over it. So if you get this recall notice, and this is one of the things, you know, I tell people with recalls is that when it comes to you, a lot of times it looks like junk mail.
Yeah,
and,
it does.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you get something that looks like it might be junk mail, but it's concerning your car, it might be worth opening and seeing if it's an actual, if it's a recall or not. Computer system will, on a lot of the makes, will tell me if there's a outstanding recall on any car, any VIN number that I have in my system. Work in progress system.
Right.
And so I can find a lot of them that way, but and then people so many people are unaware.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, have you had this car since new? Yeah, I've had it since new. Well, you should have gotten this notice.
Yeah.
And so you probably threw it away.
Well, you know, you probably also got a few notices about your extended warranty on your car is about to expire.
Right.
You got to call this 1-800 number and
exactly.
And your picture of your driver's license number, your social security number, your passport, your bank account number, and
the last four digits of your credit card number.
No, the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. And the PIN.
Which is that's why people just toss this stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy the amount of junk mail that comes in. I was, you know, years ago for the 4th of July, we lit off a Cadillac airbag in the backyard just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
I've never seen an airbag go off. And put a watermelon on top of the thing, think I was going to launch the watermelon. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this is one of the stupider things I've ever done in my life as I'm getting ready to do it.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah, here, hold my... Hold my juice.
Hold my Pinot Grigio.
Yeah, I know. If anything, it's going to be some, you know, some $3 chuck, you know, red wine blend. Oh, man. Now
airbag.
You got me all
airbag
yeah,
watermelon.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about this cherry blossom wine they sell down at Trader Joe's. It's got a screw top, and it's actually pretty good.
There
but
go.
Anyway. So, yeah, we're going to launch this watermelon, you know. 100, 200, 500 feet into the air, and it's going to come down through one of my neighbor's roofs, probably. But we've got big yards, but I'm willing to take this 4th of July, you know, just years back before we could not blow things up. So everybody's doing it, right? So we, you know, 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1, blast off, and I, you know, ignite the thing, and boom, the watermelon explodes. I mean, just exploded.
It didn't go flying up in the air.
Well, there are chunks. Yeah. You know, the biggest chunk hit me. I was 50 feet away from it. It hit me in the chest. It was, you know, anyway. Yeah, so I always thought, you know, let's say you're at McDonald's and you're whatever, you got your McDonald's cup and you're going to go take your sip of your coffee, and for some reason that airbag goes off and that thing hits you in the forehead and you got an imprint of McDonald's in your forehead for the rest of your life. This Mazda emblem.
It'd be kind of cool looking, actually.
Well, it would be if they can just manage to keep it in one piece.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's pretty neat. If it's under the nose, you'll have kind of a funky little mustache. So anyway, that's worth, and these things are, the recall covers like the Mazda 3 cars from 04 to 07.
Yeah.
And it would be worth, I think, looking into and see if you probably get one of the old Takata airbags that they, who knows what's going to go on.
Yeah.
I doubt if they're going to just give you a cover. They're probably going to give you a whole bag.
Probably, yeah. And, you know, this is something that if you don't know, if you do own one of these vehicles, you didn't get the notice or you maybe tossed it or whatever. You can go to the NHTSA website and enter your vehicle's identification number in there, and it will tell you if there's outstanding recalls on your vehicles.
Actually, safercar.gov.
Yeah.
And just Google safer car, and you'll come right up to that. And then they'll probably track you at that point, but that's okay.
We're all being tracked. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, just enjoy it. And so what else? Well, after the break, we're going to I think we should go into a little bit of fire control safety.
Fresh on your mind?
Fresh on my mind. And I think that, we need to talk about how to put out a fire.
Yeah, properly.
In the shop with the auto guys, give us a call, 676-5464. We'll be right back. You know, I actually like this new guy. He's got some good tunes. Thanks, man. Hey, welcome back to the shop. You're here with the Auto Guys. I'm Kirk from Angler Automotive and Steve from the Panacea Auto Repair, the cure-all.
Yeah.
And shout out to Brian for Dr. John's and Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. I have no idea what they're doing. I would imagine Brian's out there
slaying
chasing,
some crabs.
Chasing for crabs. And
did he get his boat going back again?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, good.
You know, and that's, I've said this before, you know, everyone gives me a bad time. I've always owned beater boats. You know, they run most of the time. They don't leak more than the bilge pump can handle. You know, and they break just as often as a new boat. So why spend all that money on a brand new boat?
Yeah.
Just buy an old beater boat, fix it up, then just plan every 4 years, take it all apart, put it all back together, and run it for another 4 years.
It's gonna,
the only difference is it'll be shiny for the first 4 years.
Yeah.
Then it won't be. Anyway, so we had a little thing that not directly related to auto repair, but we had a little fire at my house the other night. And it was related to basically my kid caught the my oldest kid caught my pressure washer on fire, and you know, we were having some issues with it. Everything turned out okay. It was a great learning experience, but I thought, you know, it'd be a worthwhile thing to share here as far as putting out a gas fire. Because what we were trying at first wasn't working at all. And so what happened is we had a bunch of projects we needed to get done. I think it was Tuesday evening. And Kurgan's out there working on picking up sticks and twigs and stuff down around one part of the yard. And Dranum, we had some problems with the pressure washer. I thought I had a fuel contamination issue. So then Dranum take the pressure washer and drag it out of the grass and bring it over kind of by the garage. And I said, hey, pull the bottom, you know, the bowl off the bottom of the carburetor, the fuel bowl, and we're going to get some cleaner and stuff and see if we can clean it out from the bottom side rather than take the whole carburetor apart. And so he gets busy on that project, and I'm in the house kind of putting some stuff together for dinner and got a glass of wine. Got things kind of together in the house, and I walk out the back of the house and notice that the pressure washer is fully engulfed in flames, like 8 feet, 9 feet from the front of our wooden garage and about 6 or 8 feet behind my boat. And Dranum's got a garden hose, and he's trying to put this fire out. And so, you know, I realize everybody's calm. Kurgan's kind of kicking back, just kind of watching this thing burn. Drown's calmly trying to put the fire out with the garden hose, and it's not working because the gas is, like, still burning, and it's running with the water towards the garage and going around. Yeah, it's spreading out. So I set my wine glass down, and I walked over, and I said, hey, dude, climb up in the boat and grab the fire extinguisher. It was the closest, easiest one to get to. I took the hose, and I'm trying to, you know, douse this fire down the best I can with water. And, you know, after a few minutes, got the fire out with the garden hose. And So we didn't need to completely dump an entire thing of
fire extinguisher
stuff all over the place. But anyway, so it was a good learning thing. And, you know, the kids, you know, I want to say, if you have a fire, and it's gas or oil, something like that, water is not going
not a good
to put
choice.
It out.
Yeah.
Most likely it's just going to spread it and make it worse. You know, I would have been probably better throwing gravel and dust and dirt, but it was already wet with burning gas and water. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. And so one thing I noticed as I, you know, kind of evaluated the situation as I was walking towards the burning pressure washer was I noticed our propane torch was about 15 feet from the pressure washer out in the lawn. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So I asked him, so what happened? And apparently he took that fuel bowl off, didn't turn off the fuel, and gas started pouring out of the pressure washer pretty close to the garage. So he moved it away from the garage, and it made a trail of gas. And so he thought the best way to get rid of the gas was to get the propane torch and light it. And it worked.
Yeah, he got rid of it.
Yeah, but...
and the pressure washer.
He said that where he really got scared was when the gas where he lit it went like a trail right back to the pressure washer, and then the pressure washer caught on fire. So anyway, it's all good.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, this is a one, just, you know, to kind of put this together is that, you know, fire extinguishers, right? You should have some.
You should.
I at my shop, I actually one time had a car that caught fire and used my fire extinguisher. What's funny is I've got way more than is required in my shop. But it's like the fire happens and you turn and you look and the first fire extinguisher I see is probably the farthest one away from where I need to be. But I ran over and grabbed that one anyway and got the fire out. But it's a dry chemical one.
Right.
And after that experience, I was like, I mean, the dry chemical causes almost more problems than the firewood, right? That stuff is so corrosive.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the shop burns to the ground.
We'll explore this a little more
after the break. Yeah. You're in the shop. Give us a call, 676-KGMI. Man, I want to get the soundtrack for this show. Welcome back to the shop. You're here with the Auto Guys. I'm Kirk from Angler Automotive and Steve from the Panacea. Love to talk to you if you want to give us a call at 676-KGMI. That's 676-5464. I actually paid the bill. All the phones are working.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking about fire stuff before the break. And I'd mentioned that I'd had a fire and put it out, but, you know, one tip when you're putting out a fire is you should always aim at the bottom of the fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like this one, the first, you know, of course, it's flames are shooting out from underneath the hood, and I'm blasting it, and then it goes out, and then it comes back on again.
It's still going down below.
It's still going down below, yeah. So sweep it low. But, you know, that dry chemical stuff, I mean, obviously something's better than nothing, right?
Right.
But it is corrosive and makes a mess. And so after that experience, I replaced a lot of my fire extinguishers with CO2.
Mm-hmm.
They're big and they do a good job as well, but they don't make a mess.
That's
Halon. Something. Halon was a really great, but they don't let us use that anymore.
Yeah, wasn't that cooking the ozone or something like that?
But then that stuff puts out a fire like now.
Yeah. Well.
But anyways, that being said, you know, as far as fires are concerned, well, first of all. If you smell raw gas or something like that, you know, be careful on your car. The one that caught fire, this person called me up and said, hey, I smell gas in my car. Can I bring it in? I'm like, yeah, bring it in. You know, get towed in here. And he's like, oh, he's going to drive it. Well, he drove it in.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had driven it in, I thought, well, I could drive it into the shop. Well, between my parking lot and the shop.
He drove it in on the last okay to drive it
last
in.
Last okay to drive part, yeah. It caught fire. Yeah, it didn't do any real damage. I had to replace, I think, the alternator harness connector.
Right.
That's probably where the spark originated from that actually caught the fire or ignited the fire. But, so, you know, using the proper stuff, I mean, again, with gasoline, you want to smother it if you can. And that's what the dry chemical does. That's what CO2 does. I mean, basically smothering.
Take away the oxygen.
Take away the oxygen.
Right.
But with those kind of things, water is not a good option.
No. I mean, if that's all you have, you know, do something with it. But yeah. Try to get it, you know, on the bottom. But, you know, one of my favorite, I don't know if I can classify it as a favorite, one of my most memorable times of being on fire. It's happened a number of times. We haven't had a fire for a long time, but anyway.
There are a lot of wildfires going right now, yeah. You know, so, and man, thanks to those firefighters that are out there, man, I can't imagine. That's hard work.
Yeah. And it's hot anyway. And now you're out fighting a fire. And
so, but yeah, I mean, again, a lot of those were sparked by lightning, but a lot of it's just, you know,
stupid humans.
Carelessness. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were over at Lake Wenatchee over the 4th of July weekend, and of course it's really dry and hot over there. There weren't any fires in that area at the time, and we'd rented a VRBO thing for the whole family, and we were cooking on the barbecue, and my son was cooking us some nice tri-tips, he had tin foil on there or something, and then we got done with that. He kind of wadded it up and just set it to the side. Well, a wind blew the tin foil down into the tinder that's all around there. All of a sudden, we see smoke coming from behind the barbecue.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and just that was a... Yeah. Anyways, there was a hose nearby. We got it out in a hurry, and we were then way more careful. But, I mean, just something as simple as that could have been disastrous.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And... you know, just, I guess, on that, a couple of years ago, we were out at Mususha Island doing our Island Fest thing we do. And we got there, I don't know what day, the first night or two, we were allowed to have campfires and stuff. The morning, I think it was Saturday morning, we all went for a little walk around the island, come back, and they tagged all the campsites, and no more fires. The burn ban was on. And... there was years ago that happened too, probably in 02, 03, somewhere in there, they had a burn ban. So everybody that went out there, we just all went to Costco and bought big bags of charcoal briquettes and brought them and put them in the fire pits. Well, this back in, you know, whenever it was, I asked the park ranger, I said, well, can we use briquettes? You know, this recent, you know, couple years ago. And they said, no, that's the first thing they ban usually out there in the islands. And I said, why? It's because people take their hibachis or their little barbecues and stuff, and when they get done cooking, they throw the briquettes into the bushes.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, man, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're de-evolving if we're doing this. And yeah. And anyway, so pretty important. But what this thing with the, you know, the pressure washer catching on fire the other day, you know, I congratulated my son that this is officially the stupidest thing he's done so far in his life. And,
he's got a lot of life left.
Well, he does, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't do too much more stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, so, you know, it was like, you know, I actually laughed about this. I was so pleased that my kids, they were calm.
Yeah.
They weren't freaking out.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder how many people in today's society in America, if there is a fire going on, a little grease fire on the stove that could be put out by maybe sticking a lid on it, would run in panic and call 911 or hit the panic button on your phone or something like that. So, you know, I am going to upgrade the fire extinguishers in and around my house, out in my garage. I'm going to put one down in my garden shed. And I would encourage people to do that because and kind of train, you know, train your kids, train, you know, each other a little bit and have a little fire safety program in your own home because, you know, that could have got really weird really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, if my garage would have gone up, you know, the boat would have gone up, the house would have gone up, the big tree next to my garage. Johnny, you should trim your tree, would have gone up, and my neighbor's house would have probably burned down, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
Disaster averted.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So, Looks like we've got Tom on the line, but let's take a quick break. Tom, please hang in there, and we'll get to you right after the break. You're in the shop with the other guys. Reminds me of the Star Trek movie. Chris Pine, the first one that came out, where Uhura's walking into the bar and Captain Kirk gets beat up before he's Captain Kirk.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, looks like, is Tom still hanging in there?
Yeah, still out here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. How can we help?
Well, since you're talking about car fires and that kind of stuff getting out of hand, I came home from work a few years back, and my neighbor had bought a Chevy Lumina, a 90-something Chevy Lumina, a really good price, and it had a few little problems, but it ran good. And he discovered he had a water leak, so he did his shade tree troubleshooting and decided it was the intake manifold that was leaking. This is a V6.
Not uncommon on one of those?
What's up?
Yeah.
I said not so uncommon.
He pulled the intake manifold off and replaced the gaskets and put it all back together. And well, anyway, when he got done, things didn't quite work like they should. So he called me and said, hey, you know, you've got little experience working with cars at times. Like, my kids all had cars and we had to rebuild them and everything, just keep them on the road. Anyhow, I went over there, and first thing he showed me was a handful of parts that he had left. And some of those looked pretty familiar, but I couldn't remember what they were for. So anyway, this is a fuel-injected aluminum, by the way. And those parts turned out to be clips that held the injector you know, together. Now, you guys know what's going on next. But anyway, it not only had a little, he said it was running rough. He just couldn't figure out, and there was a snapping sound, too. And I said, oh, people fire it up and listen to it. And I heard the clicking. It almost sounded like lifters, but and he shut it off, and we looked at things again. Okay, let's fire it up one more time. Well, this time, the snapping was a little louder, and all of a sudden, there was a fire. Well,
the snapping of 50,000 volts?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we thought, there's a fire in here, and it's in the garage. And I'm going, we got to get this thing out of here. So the first thing we did was try to, you know, move the car, and it wouldn't move. So I ran home and grabbed power extinguisher, powder type.
Yeah, direct chemical.
And so I turned that thing on, and nothing happened. Well, you know how they get packed. So I should have hit it on the floor a couple of times. I didn't think about that. The fire's getting bigger. And so we tried pushing again. This time we figured out it came loose. Well, it was on the jack with a previous and wouldn't come off. But you get a little adrenaline going, you can do anything. We rolled it out in the driveway. The fire's still going big. We could save the garage at this point. So I ran over to his hose and grabbed that. And it turned out to be 10 feet long. I was 10 feet short of the car by this point. So that wasn't working either. The last thing he did was pull his nylon jacket off and threw it on top of the carburetor and the gas, and it did put the fire out.
How did the jacket survive?
Turned out to be he had a water pump that was leaking. It wasn't the intake at all. And he almost lost his house in the process. But, you know, things like that just happen. And the parts, you know, he had either a bad spark plug wire or one of them was loose. I can't remember what it was. But that's what set the thing off. So there you go. There's the story.
Yeah. You know, hey, I got a question, though. Throughout this whole thing, obviously there was a sense of urgency going on.
Oh, yeah.
But were you pretty calm through the whole thing, or were you panicking?
I guess we were thinking the whole time, but you know, we realized that the danger that was there, and I think you panic afterwards. It's one of those things. It's a fight or flight thing, but you think about the panic afterwards, and in the meantime, just trying to solve the problem.
Yeah,
and I think it's a guy thing, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
I don't know if I think it's across the whole species. You know, we've all got that. A lot of people have that, where everything kind of goes into slow motion. And your thought process is crystal clear. And then after the fact, you're just going, whoa.
The adrenaline's still pumping.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my wife and I both went through Lamaze class with our kids. And I discovered that women have to be taught how to breathe.
Really?
Guys know how to do that automatically. It just comes. I'm going, what's this all about?
Are you still married? How long are you guys been married?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
45 years this year. 45.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It just keeps getting better.
You know, I used to talk like that. I was only married for 6 years.
No, boy. Anyway, well, thanks, guys, for hearing the story. It was a real Keystone Cops thing. If you had seen it in slow motion, it would have looked normal, but it was happening real fast, and that was a real thing. With that fire going 3, 4, 5 feet in the air, and you only being stopped by the lid on the car, was like, oh, my goodness.
I do have one last question for you, Tom.
Yeah.
How did the Lumina work out? Did he fix it, or did they move on?
It fried a little bit of the wiring harness, as you would know, and as you probably have experienced. And he replaced all that stuff, got it running, and he gave it to somebody in town for a song. They gave it away, and I think they crashed it about a week later. So that was the end of that Lumina.
A cursed car.
All right. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for the story.
Okay, take care, guys. Bye.
That's the kind of stuff I really like here.
Remember the old days of carburetors when you'd lose your eyebrows when you had the backfire?
And then remember when fuel injection, they started putting the plastic intake manifolds stuff and then get a backfire and boom, that plastic intake manifold, basically on a much larger scale, the Mazda emblem.
Yeah,
that stuff was pretty crazy. Do we need to take a break? 2 minutes? 2 minutes. Well, hey, we've got some time, so.
I think while we're talking here, and you mentioned there that how you are single now.
Did I say that?
You did. You did say that. I'm
divorced.
And I had the divorce makes you single, man. Article I found, I can't find it now.
Actually,
the cars that increase your chance of success on a dating site.
Oh. Well.
So if you post these cars in your profile pics, you're more like, so what was this one? If you are 2.43 times more likely to get a reaction to your text if your profile image is a Jeep.
A Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I think just a Jeep in general.
Well,
but they list the Grand Cherokee as their example. Yeah. Although I would think like a Wrangler or a Rubicon or something like that's probably a better image to put out.
Well, more, it kind of depends on the type of mate that you're looking for.
What year's your truck?
My 04.
I did notice that the 04 Dodge 3/4-ton diesel truck does not make this list.
Really?
No. So maybe you need to...
What about my 1976 Chevy Caprice Classic Wagon?
It's not on this list either.
It's not. What about the 02 Buick Rendezvous?
Not on there either.
Not even close.
Yeah, you got to up your game, man.
Oh, man. What about my 1970 Fiberform boat?
That is on.
That'll get me love. Hey, we're going to take a break. Give us a call. We got a few minutes left towards the end of the show. 676-KGMI, 676-5464. You're in the show. Welcome back to the shop. You're here with the Auto Guys. I'm Kirk from Angler Automotive and Steve from the Panacea Auto Repair. And, I just want to say thanks for, if anyone's still listening, thanks
if
for
anybody tuned
in there,
to actually hear us talk about cars.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Saturday morning and it's really nice. Everyone needs to get out. After the show. Yeah. We got the most exciting part of the show coming up right now. Got a gentleman named Chuck on the line. How you doing, Chuck?
Yeah, hey, I got two or three things here. First, I want to talk about your watermelon story.
Okay.
No story ever ends well that starts with, here, hold my beer.
That's right.
No, it was my wine.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a fire story, too, but we might not have time for that. But I got a 2005 or 4, maybe 6, Tahoe, and I was driving home from Oregon, and I get to Everett, and the spark plug blows out of it. And so I pull over, and luckily I had some tools and some JB Weld in there, so I just JB Welded the spark plug and screwed it back in, and I disconnected the fuel injection wiring and plug wiring and everything, and drove it home on 7 cylinders, and now I'm wondering what I should do with that.
I think you should take it over to Steve's shop
and
fix it for you.
Yeah, so the
I was thinking helicoil or something like that.
Is it an aluminum head or is it a cast head?
It's aluminum, I'm pretty sure.
You might be able to get a helicoil in that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, they make like I use a kit that NAPA sells, thread repair.
I think it's called thread.
But anyways, it comes with a reamer and a threader and the whole works to do it.
I already ordered it from NAPA, they said it was a whole kit with the tap and everything, I don't know.
Well, are you getting the kit, just the kit, or the kit with the caboodle, too?
He said it had the whole caboodle in
it. Okay, yeah. He didn't say the caboodle.
Well, he said it had the reamer and everything. Kit.
But, hey, little advice, make sure you put your piston all the way down before you stick that reamer down through the, cranking it through, cutting the threads on the head, because...
Right, and I got a shot back so I can suck anything I get in there out.
What I do when I do those things too is after I've reamed the hole out and shop vacced it and everything else, I will actually start the vehicle with that spark plug out.
Ooh, good idea.
And just to kind of blow all the stuff back out of there best I can. And even when you do that, sometimes I've had a misfire at first where a little chunk will get stuck under a valve.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, rev the throttle a couple times, it'll work its way out. Well, not...
Most
so far, every time it's worked for me, but there is the potential for having to remove a cylinder head.
Yeah,
but you know,
it's an old rig, and I like it. It's comfortable, but you know,
yeah, the JB weld's the thing that scares me. It's like that may throw a little wrench in your.
Yeah, but I had to. I was stuck in Everett. I had to get home.
Yeah,
and so I just did what I had to do to get home.
Well. And that's sometimes.
You got time for a fire story?
There's a guy named Ronald that called, and maybe we should save your fire story for next week.
Okay.
Can you do that? Call us back next week and crash the show with it. Well, I can't wait. I'll be listening.
All right.
It was a Holley double pumper.
Okay.
With a velocity stack on it.
All right. Save it for next week. I will be listening. I won't be home, but I'll be listening. All right. Thank you, Chuck. Ronald, good morning.
Hey.
Hi.
So the quick question is, rebuild a motor or just buy another car, just a worker bee car?
What kind of vehicle and what kind?
I have a 1993 Ford Escort, and should I rebuild the motor or just go buy another used car?
I would personally go for a new used car.
Yeah, 93 Escort if you actually are rebuilding the motor on that thing or putting a rebuilt motor in that thing, you're probably talking $4,000+.
I get it. All right, so now the question is, I want to go buy a new used car. Good worker bee car, mid-high mileage, et cetera. What brand? What don't you see at your shop?
Well, I see everything, but I would recommend a Honda, a Toyota, or a Subaru, personally. Or an 04 Dodge diesel.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
The thing you want to do is, especially if you're looking at something with some significant miles on it, get it checked out. Always a good idea. If they have service records, always a bonus.
Oh yeah,
and there's some sleepers out there that I would agree with Kirk's top three there. There's some sleepers out there that you can find that are not those that have been well taken care of. But that's the thing: if they've been well taken care of, that can serve you well, and you can save some money because they just don't pay the Toyota or Honda tax on them.
Right.
So
yeah.
Well, you know what? I bought this damn thing out there. With 82.5 on it, now I'm up to 162.5.
Did it drop a valve seat?
No, it runs fine. I'm just thinking. I get bored of the car. I'm looking maybe to get another car.
Well, it will drop a valve seat eventually.
You know what? I would say keep that car, keep saving your money, wait till the price of the cars come down, and just keep driving that thing until it doesn't drive anymore.
Well, you know what? That's what I've done with every car I've ever had is drive it into the ground and then, get a ride to work for a week and buy another car.
Well, that's the way to do it. Hey, Ronald, thanks for the call. We got to get going. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You've been in the shop with the Auto Guys. We'll be back next week.